Quietly humming crystal blue persuasion, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that knows that failure is not an option. He can't figure out who won the Game of Thrones. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, it is time for Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. And I am, as Drew McMillan just told you, Doug Jones, your Medicare expert all day today. I'll be here all day. So tip me and laugh at my jokes and we'll have an excellent relationship. We have a philosophy around here. Our intent is to help people get from regular life to Medicare life in the easiest, happiest way possible. The short way to describe that is to play our 30-second radio spot that we developed last year. So I'm going to ask Randy to do that right now. See you in 30 seconds.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
All righty, there is your short explanation of why Medicare for the Lazy Man exists. We have a fantastic website, medicareforthelazyman.com. We have a brand new book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, and it's the 2020 version of that book, but it's the 2021 is not in the, did I say 2020? It is the 2021 version of that book. Randy's going nuts over there. He's got his microphone off, so you can't hear him. He's swearing at me. So, yes, we have our 2021 book out. And I looked at it this morning right before we logged in to start this recording. And it is the number one bestseller in its category on Amazon.com. So it's got this bright orange banner that says number one bestseller. I bought a couple of them. I know Dominic Regina, our favorite fan, has bought at least one because he emailed me last night and asked if I would like him to write a review. So it's entirely possible. Not only will he get book number one, but he will also be reviewer number one. Last year, we had 215 reviews on the 2020 book, and we're starting from zero with the 2021 book. However, because we changed and we took the year out of the title, next year we won't have to give up our reviews. We won't have to change the title from 2021 to 2022. It'll just always be Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. So anyway, we're pretty excited. So now Randy and I are working hard on the ebook, which is the Kindle version, and the Audible book, which is the audio version. And hopefully we'll get those things up and running. And then the Barnes and Noble element at some point for people who have a problem with Amazon. And Barnes and Noble is always less expensive. If you go to Amazon to buy the 2021 paperback, you're going to have to pay $14 until they start to discount it. They always seem to discount it during the course of the year. But $14 is the retail price I had to set so that I can make about a dollar per book. And Barnes and Noble, I can make the same buck. And the price will be generally less, like under $10, I expect. So for people who don't want to deal with Amazon, Barnes and Noble eventually will become the purveyor of choice. Now, I was gonna introduce Randy here, but he's being such a good boy over there. It looks like he's getting sleepy and everything. I don't know if I should even bother him, but let's see if he has anything to say. Randy, you doing okay?
Oh, wait, but yes, I'm here. I just wanted to mention, you know, it really irritates me that Amazon took your reviews away last year because we changed the title. So I'm going to make a special personal request. Everybody on this podcast, I want you to go write a review for the new book, Medicare for the Lazy Man. And that title won't change forevermore because we took the year out of it. But help us build up our reviews again, because we look like newbies on the block and we've been there 3 years.
Yeah, this is book number 4 in our series of Medicare books, and that would be a wonderful thing to do. Obviously, Amazon favors the reviews from people who have purchased the book higher, because in the review, if you've written a little something, like I hope you will, it says verified purchase. But if you've already got the 2020 book and you don't want to get the new one for some reason, then you can still go there and click on stars. I think you can indicate your opinion of the book without having to write a review. But as always, the description that a customer puts in print or posts on the site is probably the most valuable to future readers coming behind you. As we've talked about before, there are 10,000 people every day entering the world of Medicare. And that's because our parents came back from the war and started making babies, and they just didn't quit for a while. So there are about 10,000 people every day that newly enter the Medicare world. Some of those 10,000, well, there are 10,000 a day that turn 65, but you know, there are also 10,000 every day that turn 64, and they're starting to think about Medicare. So every day there's a whole bunch of new people thinking about Medicare. And if you were to write a short but pithy review of the book, especially after having purchased it, it's going to be very helpful to a future person, because there are a bunch of Medicare books out there. And I like to think that ours serves our clientele very well. We try to simplify the whole Medicare process to make it less intimidating, maybe a little bit more fun, but also to tell you some secrets about Medicare that other people will refuse to tell you. And I explain why they refuse to tell you in the actual book. And the book's not that long. It's about 78 pages this year. Threw in some extra stuff. And so it's not 78 pages of solid reading. There are pretty pictures in it, too, that Randy has helped us employ to teach people how they can buy their own drug plan without having to deal with a dopey insurance agent like me. And one of the ways that they do that is they go to this secret government website, and then they click on this and they click on that, and they put in their drug names and blah, blah, blah. And pretty soon you've read a long list of steps that I have dictated. Well, what we did this year was Randy took screenshots of the actual screens that you're going to be looking at. So it's easier than just having somebody tell you, okay, now find this and click on it. You can see a picture of it. He's got nice red arrows. And frankly, I think you did a great job, Randy.
Well, thanks, Doug. Yeah, I just wanted to tell people, I said, you know, when you first initially get on that website, it's really intimidating. And I was intimidated the same way that you may or may not be, but just hang on to Doug's book, read the book, follow the directions, take a breath. You know, if you get lost, go back to the book. It's all doable. And once you see how it all ties together, it's really not that tough.
But the cool thing is Randy has inserted screenshots. It's like pictures, and the arrows point to which things you should click on. For instance, just for simplicity's sake, I always say, tell the program that you're only interested in getting a prescription drug plan, and get rid of all the other choices that they have, because it simplifies your acquisition of a drug plan, which is the whole reason you're there. The reason you need a drug plan, even if you don't take any drugs, is that the US government will come after you big time in the future when you have to take a drug and you decide to get a drug plan. If you start out when you're first eligible for Medicare, and that may be at age 65, or it may be as you leave your place of employment at age 70 or whatever, if you then do not purchase a drug plan when you are eligible to purchase that drug plan, then the clock starts ticking and they have a lifetime late enrollment penalty, and they're going to be keeping tabs on you. So it may be that for a few years, you don't take drugs or you don't really think you need a drug plan. And then eventually you might say, all right, well, I want to defray the cost of my drugs, so I'm going to get a drug plan now. I have one client, an old friend of mine from high school, and frankly, he went 8 years before he and I ever talked about Medicare, and he did not get a drug plan. And his penalty, monthly lifetime penalty, is going to be $34, I think. That's my rough calculation. So here's a guy who's saying, geez, you know, if I had just gotten a cheapo drug plan years ago, I would have, I'd have $34 in, I'd be drinking a better class of beer than I can afford right now. And this guy's now thinking twice about it, but the government's going to come after him. They've already sent him a bunch of forms to fill out, you know, tell us whether you really had drug coverage, because we don't think you did. And he feels like he's got a target on his back. So I recommend to anybody, when you first become eligible for Medicare, and that might be on your 65th birthday, or it might be later on when you retire from a job and you leave their group medical plan, is get a cheapo drug plan, even if you don't need it, to ward off that lifetime late enrollment penalty. This year in 2021, the least expensive drug plan I'm aware of is $7.30 a month. In some states, that same plan is less than $7. But the places I've seen it most frequently, it's just over $7 a month. And you don't have to buy any drugs or anything. You just tell them, hey, sign me up for that plan because I'm eligible. And that wards off the $34 hole that my friend and client has dug himself. So hopefully that advice will be understandable for people. You can go to that section of the book, which I think is chapter 11, and look at Randy's illustrated steps for buying your own drug plan from whatever insurance company you decide. If you take some drugs, you put the drugs in the program following Randy's directions, and it will list all the drug plans available in your county or your zip code from the cheapest to the most expensive. And the differences can be thousands and thousands of dollars a year. But the cheapest drug plan for you might be a plan that costs $100 a year or $200 a year total. That's going to be the premium for the insurance policy plus the co-pays for the drugs that you take. So what you're doing is you're putting in your drugs, you're telling the website how much you take, and then you're telling the website where you like to go get your prescriptions filled. And it may be the corner drugstore, it may be a chain drugstore, it may be a Walmart or something, or it might be mail order. You might say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'll have them send the drugs to me. So almost every one of these drug plans has a mail order option, because either they have their own mail order branch or they subscribe to another company's mail order services. So this becomes, from a confusing, what do I do sort of thing, thanks to the photographs that we have, the screenshots that we have in the book, it becomes a very simple illustrated thing. I'll bet you'd be finished choosing the cheapest drug plan for you before you can have your second beer down the hatch. And that's assuming that you only type with one hand. Anyway, but next year you may want to do it again. If your drugs, your prescriptions change, you may want to do the same process again to make sure that there isn't a new drug plan that's going to be a better deal for you. But we'll be talking about that during the course of the year. You know, it seems like I started here with a whole pile of things to talk about, Randy, and I may have yacked myself right into the end of the episode. How much time do you have left?
I have a couple thoughts. Well, we've got a bit of time yet. When you'd mentioned, you know, well, let's see, you become eligible for a drug plan, but if you don't buy it, then later on when you decide you need it, they're going to charge you a penalty for it. You know, for some strange reason in my head, you know how that equates to something that I see quite often in Ireland, walking down the street in Dublin, because, you know, Irish people have a strange sense of humor. They'll have a sandwich.
Well, I didn't know that till I met you.
they'll have a sandwich sign out on the sidewalk, and you know, from a distance it'll say "Buy two beers," and then in very tiny print at the bottom it'll say "Pay for them both." That's kind of how this strikes me is, oh, yeah, well, you don't need any drugs right now, but later on, we're going to catch up. So don't worry. We'll be there.
Well, yes, to the uninitiated, the people without an insurance background, it certainly seems like, okay, they're going to get you one way or the other. Might as well bend over early in the process and let them get me now. But the whole point of insurance is to pay a premium, which is a small known amount of money, to avoid the pain and anguish that an unexpected large loss occurs to you down the road. So if you have a drug plan early on and you find that you're taking a drug that costs tons and tons of money, but you don't need it, you don't need to spend tons of money because you have a drug plan, then it's worked out well for you. But if you find out that you need an expensive drug at age 70 and you haven't paid a thing into the system, then they're going to nail you for a huge cost of the drug plan. And why is that? Because the cost is mostly defrayed by the people who don't need it. In other words, homeowners insurance is not hugely expensive for most people because their homes are intact and they're not likely to burn down. But if you didn't buy homeowners insurance, and if nobody bought it until your house caught on fire and that one guy in the state of Michigan or whatever decided that his home was on fire and he called his insurance company and said, give me insurance on my home, that insurance would be prohibitively expensive. So the reason we have a penalty is to get everybody into the system so that insurance works the way it's supposed to. It's a small premium cost to avoid the possibility of a huge painful loss later on when you need to take expensive drugs. And when you're in my business, you hear about a lot of unfortunate people that have to take drugs that cost thousands of dollars without a drug plan. And sometimes even with a drug plan, there are a lot of drugs out there that are just prohibitively expensive. But the good news there is that many drug manufacturers have programs to help people who are hard hit by an expensive drug be able to afford it. They're not welfare, they're not Medicaid, they're just programs that allow people to get hugely expensive drugs at a reasonable cost. Not everybody qualifies, but a lot of drug companies are out there trying to give back to people who just cannot afford their expensive products. So that was a really long answer to Randy's very simple question. Are they trying to screw us with this? and the answer is not really, but it winds up looking like that if you let it slide for 8 years.
It's kind of like the Irma penalty. If you've got a wife named Irma, then they charge you extra. That's what I hear,
well,
right?
Well, that's the success penalty, and that is an evil, evil penalty. That is not like the late enrollment penalty. The Irma penalty, I consider to be an evil invention of federal bureaucrats that want to grab as much of your money as they can. That's the success penalty. If you earn over a certain threshold, then your cost for the drug plan and for Part B of Medicare starts to climb. And in the book, we have tables that show you what the increases are going to be. If you're unfortunate enough to be successful in life, you're going to have to pay extra.
Heaven forbid you're successful.
Yeah, for Christ. Isn't that what we want for everybody? Well, not really. No, we want to, if somebody's successful, we want them to have to pay more. I don't understand the rationale, but we do have the tables there for people to research if they are successful. And hopefully it's not going to break the bank, but it is a minor irritant. That's for sure.
It's really a burr under my saddle. But
well,
anyway,
I don't blame you.
Anyway, having said that, we need to thank some folks here. But first, we need to tell them go where you need to go to Amazon.com and Amazon. You need to buy the new, brand new improved 2021 book.
Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's the title of the book is now just Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. And then the year is superfluous. It comes after that. But you'll recognize this book as it says 2021 in red right on the cover.
So be the first to get it. Get boxes of them, because you're going to be the first to get it, and you're going to be the first to be able to wrap them up and give them out for the holidays.
Yeah, they fit very nicely in stockings.
Yes, yes, and they do.
they're designed for gifts for kids of all ages. If you've got little kids around the house, they would love to have a Medicare for the Lazy Man book in their stocking, I'm quite certain.
Grandpa, will you read me a good night story? Why, yes, I will, Billy. Let me go get Medicare for the Lazy Man.
Well, Grandpa is going to be able to stay awake about 3 minutes, because Medicare is not a fun topic. I'm going to be the first one to tell you that. It is not. Don't buy this book for its purient interest or for its excitement and storytelling abilities. We're dealing with a government program here, so all I could do is try to make it less boring and dull and horrible than it would be normally.
And that's a straight shot. Doug tries to make something that you would rather go slam your foot in the door than read, or at least learn about. He tries to make it palatable.
And I think if you read last year's book's reviews, the customer reviews written by people who bought the book, for the most part, they say, hey, it's a lot better than I thought it was going to be. So, you know, I'll take it.
Except that one guy that said it wasn't complicated enough.
Well, there was another guy more recently who said, I'm not convinced that the author actually speaks English.
Now, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
If I haven't sent that to you, I'm going to have to, because we put all these up on the website, ladies and gentlemen. And so you will be able to see what my competing authors are doing. Basically, they buy copies of the book just so they can leave 1-star reviews. And those people have a lot of free time on their hands, because nobody's buying their books.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know that. You need to send me that review. He doesn't think Doug speaks English. Well, he doesn't. It's Oklahoman. You know, he's a kid from Oklahoma.
Yeah, you can't take the boy out of Oklahoma without taking the Oklahoma out of the boy. No, that's not how.
No, that's not. No, you can't take Oklahoma out of the. You can take the boy out of Oklahoma, but you can't take Oklahoma out of the boy.
That's the way it works.
That's the way it works. So, thanks for everybody for joining us. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, brand spanking new author of Medicare for the Lazy Man, the 2021 version. And what else? Oh, gosh, I should think of something.
This podcast.
Yes.
We are the podcasters extraordinaire for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast.
And I'm going to leave a hanging chad, because there is one other category you told me quite a while ago that you're leading in. I would like the people on the podcast to guess and send all their letters and cards to dbj@medicareforthelazyman.com and guess what other category Doug's book is leading the pack in.
Actually, you got a better address for us just for mail. So it's dbj@mlmmailbag.com.
Oh, did I drop something?
Yeah, you added something. You added a few syllables in there.
Oh, okay.
So dbj@mlmmailbag. And we will read every one of your emails that you send in. And if you guess correctly, Randy's going to give you $20 out of his wallet. I'm pretty sure that's what he told me anyway.
I don't remember saying that, but we can take it out and trade, maybe.
Fortunately, our audience has a short-term memory problem, so it may be that it'll never come up again. But anyway, you said goodbye so eloquently, I don't want to drag this out anymore. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.